Father, in mercy on all of us, come hold us under the blood of Jesus Christ. Cleanse the atmosphere with the blood of Jesus Christ. Wash me with the blood of Jesus Christ, that I might have some hope of Thy grace and mercy upon such a base and unworthy man as me. Should there have been the smallest thought, or smallest reaction, or smallest word that was not utterly Christ-like, that I in my baseness overlooked to confess in shame, please forgive me, my God, for at my best I am so unworthy and the most unprofitable of all Thy servants. Wash me through and through with the holy blood of God, the Son, Creator, Savior, and coming Judge. Fill me with the Holy Spirit in mercy. Anoint my mind and my being, and unctionize the words that I speak to give revelation to the hearts of each person gathered here tonight. Rebuke thou thyself by the risen, resurrected power of Christ. Rebuke thou thyself, Satan, away, and demons, all those, as a third of the angels of God were swept by his tail upon the earth and became desperate demons, having revolted with Satan against thee, our Father. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. O our God, help us tonight as we look beyond ourselves for Thee to visit us. Please, God, we cannot look to any man. We cannot even look to ourselves. We have proven that over and over to ourselves. Our expectation is in Thee and Thee only tonight. Help us, or all is lost, for without Thee we can do nothing. Come now, God, and bless this sanctuary. Thank Thee for giving it to these dear godly people, to honor them who honor Him. Bless the dear mothers and fathers with the babies that they've taken in appreciation and respect and humility and kindness to the other rooms. Forgive me that I am this base, Lord, that men and women must leave to some other rooms. But thank Thee there's loudspeakers. May they be doubly blessed more than anyone in this building for their kindness and humility and Christ-likeness in honoring the weakness of this man and not despising him for it. Come now and bless and visit us, each one, by the Holy Ghost alone. For we all ask it in the name that we love and that we live for, the name we would gladly die for, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, and for His glory. Amen. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God, in the beginning, in the beginning, God, created the heaven and the earth. And the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And the evening and the morning were the second day. The second day. Verse 6. And God said, "Let there be a firmament. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let there be an expansion. An expansion of sky. An atmosphere." When God said in verse 6, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters," beloved, He created something so beyond comprehension with one word that this world became the only known planet in the universe that can sustain life. You see, beloved, the earth is surrounded by layers of gases. The earth is surrounded by layers of gases, each layer having its own unique composition, but mainly composed of nitrogen and oxygen. Nitrogen and oxygen, and held in position by gravitational attraction. Now this atmosphere protects the earth from harmful radiation and absorbs the sun's energy. It absorbs the sun's energy, maintaining an average surface temperature of 14 degrees centigrade. The uncomprehendable work that God did in one word. He did not take 1 million years, scientists. If you can't believe that it was one day that God did this, how are you going to get anywhere further than the first page if you can't get past the first page? God is uncomprehendable. Don't limit Him. Don't try and bound Him into your understanding, your limitations, where you can accept Him now. No! Not this God. From verse 1, you believe without being able to comprehend, or you're damned. You're damned by God for eternity. From page 1, sir. Because I know if you can't get past page 1, how will you ever comprehend that God died, rose, lives, and can save you as an individual? How will you ever be able to. Verse 6, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, an uncomprehendable perfection that made this planet the only planet known, discovered, found in the universe that can sustain any life at all. Hallelujah. In perfectness, utter perfectness. And in one day, sir, one day. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. It was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good. Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. In one moment, not in 100 million years, in one spoken moment. Now, beloved, 70% of the earth's surface is covered by water. Approximately 70% of the earth's surface is covered by water, submerged, mainly beneath four huge oceans, known as the Pacific, the Atlantic, the Indian, and the Arctic oceans. The Pacific, the Atlantic, the Indian, and the Arctic oceans. Now the Pacific is so vast that it covers approximately one-third of the world's surface. One-third of the world's surface. The Atlantic, one-fifth. And the Indian, one-seventh. Approximately one-seventh of the Earth's surface. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Now land covers approximately 30%. 30% of the world's surface. Land covers approximately 30% of the world's surface, divided into seven land masses called continents, known as Asia, Africa, North America, South America, Antarctica, Europe, and Australasia. Asia, Africa, North America, South America, Antarctica, Europe, and Australasia. 10% of the Earth's surface is covered by ice. 90% of the world's ice is found at the Antarctica, situated at the South Pole, making it the world's coldest continent. Antarctica is approximately the size of Europe as a continent, but it is covered with a 2 kilometer thick sheet of ice, reaching 4.5 kilometers in thickness at the continent center. That's beyond comprehension. But God did that. From the highest mountain peak on land, known as Mount Everest, in the Himalayas of Asia, from the highest mountain peak on land, known as Mount Everest, 29,028 feet above sea level. 29,028 feet above sea level, sweeping down to the lowest known discovered spot on the seabed, on the ocean bed, found at what we call the Mariana Trench, west of the Philippines, which is 35,800 feet below sea level. 35,800 feet below sea level, to the deepest land basin, which is the Dead Sea in Jordan and Israel, which is 400 meters below sea level, though inland. God, on this moment, in perfecting this world, in continuing to clothe and perfect it, did something so uncomprehendably beautiful and perfect. It is all beyond man's grasp, and never will be able to be grasped. Sir, don't ever try and argue with science on their level. It happened in one word. And if you can't believe that, you won't believe anything. Because you have to believe something limited to you. And when that is so, sir, then God is no longer God, or not worthy of seeking. If he's limited to you and your understanding and your finite mind, how can you bring an uncomprehendable God to the little finiteness of a human's mind, no matter how advanced he becomes, and say he can be explained? Now I believe him. No, sir. No. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Oh, what God did in one word. One word. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Hallelujah. It was so. He's so great. It was so. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. I believe it was so. Let the earth bring forth grass, God said, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. I love that. If God saw it was good, it was perfect. Nothing could have been made more perfect, for he's God and he's perfect. And the evening and the morning were the third day. The third day, God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Oh, I wish I could have seen that. The whole world. Not taking like an aeroplane, you know how long it gets to get around the earth. In one word, the whole world. That's God. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Now, beloved, there are 250,000 known species of plant and vegetation. That happened in one word, not in 1 million years. Don't limit God. Make him limitless and you glorify him. Limit him and you grieve him. And you go to hell. Oh, there are approximately 250,000 known species of plant and vegetation. Oh, they say, these wise men, there's approximately another 100,000 of species from species. I don't want to argue about that. But anyway, the greatness of God. So 350,000 if you want to, but 250,000 that you can't have made a species of. The unique species. Have you seen them? You know, I'm a man. And I don't know if you think this is unmanly, but I have a terrible time passing a tree. That's beautiful. Here in your town today, I had to be preparing there in the graveyard, but the trees, I had to keep my eyes shut sometimes from stopping and just looking at the perfectness, the amazing perfectness of one tree without leaves even. I'm a man. Tell me, have you passed everything God made? The unique perfection, the uniqueness of each species, the beauty. I mean, even a dead leaf, I got to stop and watch it fall. A dead leaf is so beautiful. Have you ever looked at a dead leaf, sir? It is beyond comprehension. It's so beautiful. Oh my, I stood the other day. Where was I? I don't know. But I was in a place out in the fields where it was bitterly cold and there was the clouds and everything and I was walking and suddenly I stopped and I went into another world. I don't worship the creation. I worship the Creator. But I take time to look at what He created to worship Him. I saw a tree with 1,000 little leaves, you know. Most of them had flown off, but they were all waving. You couldn't believe the beauty. It took my breath. Oh. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I suppose I'm the only human in the entire world that ever stopped or ever will stop just once in front of this one tree. And I thank Thee for such beauty that takes away my breath and fills me with awe at the perfection of God. Most men pass 1,000,000 trees and don't even know they were there. They may as well have gone through a desert. I'm a man, I can't pass a little flower. You want to see, I've got to look around sometimes, but the perfectness of a flower, the perfectness of each unique species, the beauty of each leaf, the perfectness of understanding of how these things can even reproduce. Through bees, oh, we don't want to go into that. You start getting diverted, we won't get to the end of this message. But it's wonderful. In one word, beloved, in one day, God clothed this world with 250,000 unique, known species in one word. He's so great, you'll never explain him. Never! You just got to believe. And except you become like a child, not ignorant, not silly, but in childlike faith to a father that won't doubt his father if his father tells him what it can't comprehend. Unless you become like that, you'll never ever enter the kingdom of heaven. If you can't become like a child from page one, sir, how on earth do you think you'll get past it? In childlike acceptance of what God said He did. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Oh, the wonder of what He did. Beyond comprehension that it was done in one word with perfectness. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters and let the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. It was so. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. It was so. Verse 14, and God said, let there be light. I love this. I wonder what it looked like as he said, lights, not a million years later. And God said, let there be lights. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Just like that, I believe. I get scared of trying to say no, it took more than one day. Because that just somehow takes away the perfectness of my God. It was so. And God created. God made two great lights. Two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. He made the stars also. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. It was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. The fourth day. Oh, beloved, on this fourth day, God created a universe that is so beyond human comprehension, it's fearful. It's fearful. It's awful. But it's wonderful to those who believe. In that day, by one word, as he spoke, he created a universe beyond all human comprehension. The universe has an unknown, I love that word, an unknown amount of galaxies. You see, when they get a little bit more technically advanced, what do they find? Oh, there's another galaxy. Beyond this galaxy. The next one. Every time they advance, they just find something further. The universe has an unknown amount of galaxies. Each galaxy containing a vast amount of stars, similar to our sun. Now in our own galaxy, in our solar system, it comprises of our own sun. But our sun, beloved, is 109 times the size of the earth. 109 times the size of this earth. It is a huge ball of gas, believed to be hydrogen infusing helium. Hydrogen infusing helium, creating light and energy and heat that somehow extends and finds its way to virtually every known part of our galaxy. That is wonderful. That this huge ball of gas infusing this amazing hydrogen, this ball of hydrogen infusing helium, creating light, energy, and heat. Somehow it extends itself to virtually every known part of our own galaxy. That is remarkable. Around our sun, there are orbiting 10 planets. 10 planets known to man, They discovered the 10th one 2 years and 3 months ago. They call it Xena, X-E-N-A. 45 degrees up they started looking from the normal orbital level of all the planets orbiting around the sun. They find another one, Xena. So now we have 10 known planets. But these planets, they orbit in a way that is beyond comprehension or explanation. They each orbit in their own unique orbit that has no explanation. They're trying to work out certain with Pluto that somehow is a gravitational pull, but there's no, the speed with which they orbit is so unique. It's beyond comprehension. There's nothing you can compare with the other to say, look, we can compare notes here as to why. They have different speeds, different orbits that are unexplainable. These planets, in their own unique orbit, orbiting around, not in a circular orbit, but an amazingly unique orbit for no known reason. Amazing. But it was just God saying, you can't even work that out. But I did it, because how could this just have happened? You'll be judged if you let yourself think that. Because even in the darkest nations, before the Bible was ever brought there, there was no human that was born with a decent mentality, that didn't know, without ever hearing the word God, that there was a God by this creation, Romans 2 tells us. No man was born with a concept there's no God. Every man, whether you're born in communist, the height of communism, where you're taught there's no God, you have to come to a personal decision. Like a moral man or a young boy or girl have to personally demoralize themselves. And they will be judged by God for going against the God-given conscience. As wicked a sin as that is to deny the existence of God for intellectual or academic acceptance. And it's a personal choice that no man is born with. You will be judged by God for eternity. For no man ever was born on this earth apart from mentally handicapped people who will never be judged. That didn't look at this world and universe and say there has to be a God. This could never have happened. You have to stoop, sir. As low as a morally decadent sin, to stoop into academic and intellectualism for acceptance, to deny there's a God and push God out of your intellect or concept, you will be judged with no less severity than any other damnable sin God has in this book. And we'll get to that. What God says, by the way, how damnable it is of what we are trying to reason with these days. On their own level. No! Tell them what God says and leave the Holy Ghost to convict. These planets, there's Mercury, closest in distance from the sun, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune and Pluto, and then Xena. Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune and Pluto. Jupiter is 1,300 times the size of the Earth. Now that's beyond comprehension. 1,300 times the size of the Earth. Why, you may say? Well, God doesn't have to explain. But He did it to stagger you. To stagger you. Just to stagger you. That He's beyond comprehension or explanation, and He doesn't owe any explanation to anyone of why He did it, but He did it. Oh, there are orbiting around our solar system, our galaxy. There are comets, not only planets, but comets that God for some reason made, such as the famous Halley's Comet. which every 76 years in its orbit, 76 years orbit, think of that, every 76 years in its orbit brings it closest to distance from the Earth, which last happened in 1986, where you witness in the night skies this huge ball of ice hurling across the sky. God didn't have to do that, but He did. And oh, how in the world, if they bother to stay up, just wonder and lose their breath. Oh, God just saying, here, your fireworks displays. Look at my creation. Beyond comprehension. But it's there to say, this couldn't have just happened. God was in it to show His greatness. Comets. Then there are asteroids. Huge mountains of rock. A few hundred kilometers in width, not round in shape like mountains, you know, just rock. Huge mountains of rock. A few hundred kilometers in width, hurling at a speed that is uncomprehendable. Hurling through space at such a speed, mainly found between the orbits of Mars and Jupiter. All these thousands of mountains just hurling through space. Hurling through space. And that's nothing. They've discovered things that God is so shocking them now that they really are in awe of these things that just happened, you know, boom. Listen, they found in a further galaxy a star that they called Antares, A-N-T-E-R-A-S. It is 64 million times the size of our sun. Now I want you to think about that. They have calculated, recalculated, and oh, it's a star, not a planet. A star is like the sun, gas. Somehow it shines, yes, it sends out all these light, and, but 64 million times the size of our sun. Why? I suppose God might have thought, well, when they get really brilliant, just before I come and think that they really discovered things, I'll just show them something that'll take their breath away, and they'll say, well, how can this be? Beyond comprehension. That this could have just happened. Oh, that's hard to find to believe. It just, boom, by mistake, happened to happen. Oh, brother, whether you say it took 5 billion zillion years to happen, that's a miracle, but I still believe it just took one moment. That's easier to believe. And that God created, and it was so. As far as that, He's so great. I'd hate to say it took Him a long time. No. 64 million times the size of our sun. But that's nothing. They went on, got a bit more technically advanced, went to a little further galaxy, and they found another star they call Hercules, which is 100 million times the size of Antares. 100 million times the size of Antares, which is 64 million times the size of our sun. They're going to discover other things. I get excited to know when they are. Just to see the greatness of God. I don't get staggered in my faith. I just get more and more confirmed that He's beyond comprehension. Hallelujah! He's God. And sir, God can do anything. Anything that man can never comprehend doing. We've got to know that. We've got to know that. There are moons. Our own moon is about a quarter of the diameter of the Earth. It reflects, this is lovely, it reflects the sun's light onto the darker side of the planet, onto the night skies, the night side of the planet. But it's just a perfect light that we're not left in total darkness. I think that's so beautiful that God just made this moon. By the way, there are 61 moons in our own galaxy, our solar system. Our planet, the Earth, has one moon that through gravitational attraction orbits around the Earth while the Earth orbits around the Sun. But other planets, such as Saturn, 1,300 times the size of Earth, They have many moons. Some have 13 moons, all circulating. Amazing. All orbiting by gravitational attraction around, while their planet orbits around the sun. Why, I don't know, but oh, it's marvelous to read about and to discover, to see the greatness and the perfectness of God and leaving us in nothing but awe. As far as we advance, we just have to be in more and more and more awe of His greatness. Oh. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament, an expanse of air, of space, an atmosphere, we would say. The first heaven. An atmosphere. Let there be a firmament. Oh, the perfectness of God as He did it. Thinking of what was going to be sustained as it came, because He knew beginning from end. He's God. Don't blame Him for what men did, though, if you get that doctrine. Oh, no. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Was so lovingly spoken, with such perfect knowledge and care and tenderness. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Verse 9, God said, let the waters under the firmament be gathered together. Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Let the earth bring forth grass. The herb yielding seed. And the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights. Oh, I wish I could have seen it. Let there be lights. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Verse 16, and God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. He made the stars. He made the stars also. Can you imagine God just coming to Saturn and saying, this, to Hercules, now. Oh. He made the stars also. Verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. I love that word. Can you imagine how many now? In one word, in one moment, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. That hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales. God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth with the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. And every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Now, beloved, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life. There are approximately 24,000 known species of fish. In one word, unique species, by the way. I'd love you to tell me how a tadpole can become a whale. No. So there haven't been enough billion zillion years to get that. No, that's terribly difficult to understand. 24,000 known, unique species of fish. Isn't that wonderful? In one word. Have you looked at one? Have you really sat and looked at one fish in its perfect uniqueness? And God did that in one day. 24,000. Perfect. Beautiful. Utter. By the way, a fish is defined as something that has a backbone and a skeleton. So there are 24,000 approximately unique known species that were created with backbone and skeleton. But to even touch on the millions of sea creatures that are down there, and to put them into categories that God created in that one moment that are not really defined as fish, that would take too long. But he did it. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. I love that. The moving creature that have life, and fowl that may fly above the earth. Fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. There are approximately 9,000 known, unique species that cannot in any way create another species. That's lovely. Approximately 9,000 known unique species of birds that God in one word created in their most amazing variety and perfectness and size. Verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature. Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind. Cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. It was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Whatever he did then, God saw that it was good. There are approximately 1 million known unique species of animals. Now, I don't know how to comprehend that, but I believe it. There are approximately 1 million known unique species that didn't come from species. At any point that they can reconcile it, that makes sense, that they even don't believe is a lie. No. 1 million, in one word, from the great elephant to the tiger to the lion to the little mongoose to the skunk to the mouse. In one day, in one moment, in one word, this God did that, sir. And I believe that with all my heart. All my heart. 1 million. There are approximately 4,250 known species of mammals. 4,250 at the same day. Known species of mammals. Approximately 6,000 known unique species of reptiles. 6,000. Have you seen a green mamba? on a lizard and go on a approximately in one moment 6,000 unique known species of reptiles. There are approximately 950,000 known species of insects. Now this is lovely. Think of it, grasp it, digest it, believe it. Don't try and explain it. Just preach it, brother. 950,000 known, unique species of insects. You want to see me with them? I hate killing an insect. I don't mind murdering a fly. I don't know why. And a mosquito. This young fellow telling me about why God made flies. Oh, that was interesting. No, we better not go into that tonight anyway. But there had to be flies, trust me. God didn't make a mistake. Don't blame the fall for every mistake there is. Careful. We mustn't divert. My wife says when you're tired, you divert. So I'm disciplining myself every time I divert to stop, you know. Right. Now, where was I? Oh, isn't it wonderful? I saw a bumblebee the other day. I was here in America with some pastors and preachers, and I forgot about them, and I wasn't acting. Really, I forgot that they were there. I just wanted to run after this bumblebee, so I just left them. And have you ever seen a bumblebee? The perfectness of one, of what God did, of 950,000. Perfect, unique. You can follow everyone. You can sit down and watch a little ant, and you will be thrilled more than any human could be thrilled by what Hollywood could give them for 10 hours on a television. At their best, just watch an ant. Your breath will be taken away. You'll be spellbound. Of course, the closer you get to God, the more you realize that these things are precious. They don't make you worship them. No point. But oh, you just love the God who created such perfectness. Even a little ant. The perfectness of a ladybug. Right, but there they were, God in one moment, just doing it. For you and me, the Bible says. Everything was made for us. And we walk past them, and we don't say thank you, God. But even that was made for me to sit down, absorb, and love thee for the perfectness of God's greatness. Unique, perfect creation. Verse 26, and God said, let us, I love that. Who's he speaking to? Let us make man. Oh, this is the moment heaven was enthralled up to this stage in their grandstands. Watching this. But now, I think heaven stood. I believe every single angel and being in heaven stood. And God said at this amazing moment, let us make man. Let us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He wasn't saying to the angels, I'm going to make them half like you and half like me. It was the Trinity of God. The Trinity, by the way, is in the very first verse of the Bible. God didn't take too long. In the beginning, God, Elohim. Elohim, a Hebrew word that's unique. And I've asked many, a rabbi of great learning, why did God put the first word that he ever in eternity wrote about himself in the plural? And I wait, you know, to look at their reaction. It's not singular. God, it's a unique word, gods, but it somehow implies one. It's unique. It's a unique Hebrew word. You won't find it in any other language exactly. We have the word gods that can mean anything. But There's something so rare that says I'm more than one from the first time he opens his mouth about himself in this book. Verse 2, the third person of the Trinity, capital S, the Spirit of God. More, not the force of God, Jehovah Witnesses. A capital S, anyone here who knows anything about Hebrew. It's a person. Why did God make it a capital S? Or did Moses make a mistake? Answer, Rabbi. A person of the Godhead who eventually says, let us, oh, if you want to explain and bring it down to human limitations, the Trinity, you're in trouble. You've got to accept it. The same as you have to accept that God created in 6 days. All this in one moment. As he spoke, by childlike acceptance that God says it, you'll never explain the Trinity. Don't try. I've heard a man, what was he saying? Yes, it's like water. Water can be three, you know, ice, vapor, and water, of course, liquid. So there's three in one. I thought, no. Don't try and explain the Trinity. You either accept it or go to hell. You will go to hell. No matter who you are that accepts Jesus. Read 1 John. You have to accept all three. Just read 1 John 5 to see that. 4, sorry. There's no such a thing as finding God unless it's finding a triune God through Christ, yes. But accepting the Trinity and the Old Testament, by the way, there's nothing in the New Testament that isn't in the Old Testament apart from one thing. It's that side of the cross. We didn't discover these doctrines. We didn't make up the Trinity. I've told how many Jews, even when I was in Israel, here's your Bible. You told me there's a Trinity. Wah! And then I just... And one man turned screaming. Do you know he screamed? Greatly learned man. Running, crying to get away. That his Bible has the Trinity. Oh, how men will run from truth to even embrace religion, let alone intellectualism. Run screaming in fear that they'll be touched, changed. They don't want that, even if they're damned for eternity. Change costs. You get ostracized. You've got to pay a price. Let us make man. Hallelujah. I don't doubt it. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. This is wonderful. After our likeness. So in one moment, God made man in his image. We didn't come from baboons. Sorry. If you want to have come from a baboon, sir, fine, but please don't tell me my forefathers were. No. My great, 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 right back to the beginning, was created in one moment as I am. In the image of God. In one moment. Whatever that means is beyond comprehension, but it's true. Wait till you see him face to face to know how true it is. We should be like him. Oh. Let us make man. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. It was so. And God saw everything. Everything. Everything that He had made. And behold, it was very good. It was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. Psalm 19, verse 1. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare. I love that word. You don't need a loudspeaker. You don't even need the Bible, God says. The heavens declare the glory of God. The greatness of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. There is no God. Romans 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They are without excuse, God says. You think you have an argument, sir? You are without excuse. He tells you even now. Psalm 8, verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man? What is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Oh, wonder of wonders. This great God of all creation is mindful of me, the book says. Would visit me, he thinks about me, and would meet with me. Can that be true? Oh, yes. Beloved, just as God looked at this earth when it was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. Let there be light, and there was light. So God looked at me when I was void of understanding spiritually, of I knew there was a God, but what was all this about? I was in spiritual darkness. I was in spiritual darkness, in my lost estate of spiritual darkness, damned without hope. God looked at me, void of understanding spiritually, in spiritual darkness, and the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that moved as God spoke. God moved upon me. And through this word, not the spoken word, but as powerful as the word that created Hercules, Antares, Jupiter, billions of stars in one word. As he spoke, the same spoken word that created light where there had never ever been in existence in all eternity, physical light from physical darkness. Suddenly, in one moment, light created. As God spoke, the Holy Spirit moved. And by the word of God, the Spirit wrought light. And so, with me, in my state of darkness, as God speaks through his written word, as powerful as the spoken word of creation, no less powerful. You see, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life to this book. And he spoke, as the Holy Spirit spoke, giving life to this book. God moved upon me in my lost estate and spiritual darkness. And through this book, God said, let there be light. And by the Spirit moving, as God's word spoke, there was light, beloved. Hallelujah! There was spiritual light. In one moment, I grasped the wonders of this book. I grasped the wonder of God's salvation. I heard and believed as the Holy Spirit spoke, not through the word of God, moved, wrought light, not through the spoken word, but the written word, as powerful as the spoken word to my soul. God singled me out as he singled out the whole universe. And the same power came on one soul who he looked at in love. I heard God through the Bible crying, come out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I came. There was light. As God said, let there be spiritual light. There was light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I heard that this God of all creation, 1 Timothy 3 verse 16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. I believed it. 1 Corinthians 5, to wit that God was in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. I believed it. Light came as the Holy Spirit took this letter that killeth, and the Spirit giveth life. Light came, spiritual light. God died for me. Yes, he was wounded for our transgressions. I believed it. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. God the Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, hallelujah. Light came. Light came. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Listen to the staggering words. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning, in case you don't like me spiritualizing from Genesis 1, John did. So sorry, theologians. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. You know what that means. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, hallelujah, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, not of physical birth, You see, that's when you become a child of your father and mother. No one's born a child of God. You must be born again. Which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word, the Word, the Word, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word, verse 14, was made flesh. Hallelujah. God manifested in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The light of the world. I am the light of the world. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The spiritual light to every man giveth light unto every man, because he tasted death for every man. If only every man would listen. To his cry. To their souls of what he did for them. Oh. Beloved, in that precious moving moment, by the same power that created light, by the spoken word of God, the written word of God, with the same Holy Spirit, the same power, not less, not a little fraction, not leaving some behind, the same Holy Spirit as a person moved upon me singularly, and God's word became life and gave light as the Holy Spirit made it living. And light, let there be light, God cried, and there was light in my heart. Hallelujah. Listen to God's Genesis account of my life in the Bible. Oh, now the theologians are getting worried. Listen to God's Genesis account of me, of my life in the Bible. You know how I say that and get away with it? Because the Old Testament, in case you're worrying what this little book is, they've shipped my big Bible home. It's too big. And they gave me this. Anyway. The Old Testament, they say, is history. And the more intellectual and academic you get, the more it's history, full stop. No. The Old Testament says the living Word of God. Written as history, but meant it was written for you and me. As vital a part of the living Word of God as the New Testament. We'd be in poverty without the Old Testament. Trust me. Go through the Bible many times and you'll see. The more you read, the more you realize the poverty we're in without the Old Testament. It was written, not as history. You see the sovereignty and the uniqueness of God in history. From page one, there's something about what happened in history that has the perfect spiritual significance of the new birth. If you haven't seen it, read Hebrews, in case you think I've got no right to say that. Oh, Peter, the whole book is the living Word of God, not just the New Testament. You get the commandments of God, you get the warnings of God to His people, but they're to you and me. You get the forgiveness, the comfort, the promises, they're written to you and me. The rhema of God's Word starts in page one to those who need to open their hearts and seek God's voice. And you know it was written about the Jews, but it wasn't written for history. It was written for me. Rhema, suddenly God, listen to God's rhema to my heart about what the theologians will say written about the Jews, but actually God wrote it for me, excuse me. He had me in mind. It was written for you, the Hebrew says. Listen. Listen to God's rhema that melted my heart to tears and worship as seldom as I've gone through this book about how what happened to me, his Genesis account of me, my life. He says in Ezekiel 16 verse 4 to me, and as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, none I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Let there be light. And there was light. Hallelujah. It took a miracle to put the stars in space. It took a miracle to hang this world in place. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Hallelujah. It took a miracle of love and grace. Well now, beloved, be careful. When God said, let there be light, and there was light, that was wonderful. But that wasn't the end of his perfecting the world. He went on to clothe the world, to perfect it. He went on and on with the spoken word of God, creating a continual perfecting on and on until the stage when it was perfected. And so with you and me, when the Holy Spirit moves through the Holy Word of God, the written Word of God, and God speaks His Word, and light comes, that isn't the end. That's the beginning. That's salvation. But you have to go on to perfection. You have to go on being clothed by the Word of God, by faith in the Word. You have to go on to be conformed into the image of Christ, which is the present continuous tense. God takes you on and on, perfecting Christ-likeness, more and more like Jesus, through every fire you face, through every hurt you face, through every storm you go through. But there's something amazing of how He does it. Just as He went on to perfect the world through the spoken word, so through the written word, the Holy Spirit moving, giving life to this book. And the spoken word, as more light comes, the more you yield to light. A continual yielding to more and more light. Being conformed. You see, the path of the just, those who are right with God, is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path of the just, if you're right with God, you're conscious of one thing. More light is revealed all the time, brother, sister, to which you continually yield by faith as the Holy Spirit works faith in your heart. And as a continual yielding to more light and more light and more light. Heaven help the man that says there's no more light to be had in my life. Nothing more for God to do. His brother, in the storms are for nothing. It make you get in your face and weep. Because all things work together for the good to them that love God. Be careful, dear, dear brethren. It's not the end. Listen. 2 Peter 1 verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's salvation. Through faith in these promises, you escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Hallelujah. That's salvation. Anything less, you're lying to yourself. You were made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, by these promises, by faith. You are by grace through faith saved. But that doesn't end there. The next verse Always read the next verse or you're as guilty as a Jehovah Witness. Who can't. He dare not. Now listen. Listen to what after you can stand up and look the world in the eyes and say, I have been made partaker of the divine nature, I've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Listen, and beside this, the next verse says, beside this, giving all diligence. That means every faculty of your being is required, according to God. Giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. That means self-control. You got to work at that by God's grace. Amazingly, through His Word, as the Holy Spirit convicts you till you get it. And maintain it. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, self-control, and to temperance patience. That means steadfastness. And to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. I hope you see, you add as you get one to the other. Look at on your knees, brother, just how far God's going to take you to the next step. It doesn't happen in one moment. And to brotherly kindness, love. 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 For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore that are the brethren, give diligence. Give diligence. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. What? I've got something to do with election? Oh yes. Otherwise you've got a pretty misconstrued idea of election. Sorry. You've got an enormous amount to do with it. God says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Savior, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just as there was a beginning, there must be an end. Just as this earth, through the Word of God, through one Word, was created, light came, and God went on to perfect all that creation. So God's Word says, in one moment He's going to destroy everything. In one Word, the same Word that created, the same God, the same power, the same spoken Word. God assures us there'll come a time all this universe will be destroyed. Everything. Listen, Revelation 21 verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, John says. 2 Peter 3 verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then but all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? That means living and godliness. 1 John 3 verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, We shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Purifieth himself. It's a present continuous, not a single. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Hallelujah. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Listen, every man that hath what hope in him? Of being like him when we see him. Of being so conformed into the image of Christ that when you see him, you recognize him by what we see in each other. Beloved, I've seen people that are so Christ-like, not in their facial features, but in their reactions, in their eyes, in their words. There's something being conformed back to what happened at the fall, was taken away by the Holy Spirit's work, because the Holy Spirit shall not speak of himself. His whole work is to glorify Christ. His whole work is to conform you and me back into the image of Jesus Christ. The image of God that was lost at the fall. And I tell you something, he has his way with so many of us. As the light keeps coming, and he keeps on going on to perfection. Going on and on. That some of us will stand and look at Christ and be staggered how we recognize him, because we should be like him. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. But we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope of being like him, not just scraping through by grace at the last, crying for mercy and looking to the blood, but staggering the world step by step, beginning in the home. The most powerful message God has on earth is Christ-likeness, not a pulpit. Men can walk away from a preach, but no one can recover from a life, not their consciences. To what degree have you sought God to go on unto perfection through his word, speaking life and light more and more, and you go on yielding as more and more light comes, being conformed more and more into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ? And to what degree, knowing all these things, seeing all these things shall be dissolved, are you godly and holy in all manner, in all holy conversation and godliness? That the world sees that. Because you know that this world will be destroyed. But the staggering thing is, and here we spiritualize again, because the Bible told me to, concerning right from the first chapter. You see, this corruptible must put on incorruption. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm not stuck with this forever. Imagine if this was all I've got for eternity. Oh my. No, not with the sicknesses. Not with the diseases. Not with the hurts. Not with the frailties and the aging and the handicaps I've got. Please no. Don't let this be eternal. I'm longing for the moment God lets this be destroyed. Just like the heavens, the earth must be destroyed by the word of God. One word, so this is all going to be destroyed, you and I. And we will find in one moment that God lets this which is corruptible become incorruptible. This which is mortal put on immortality. There's one verse here I need to read. Romans 8:22. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We know. If you don't know that, I don't know where you're at. If you think this is heaven, oh my. As we're sitting here, what, in the last month, in one day, close to 80,000 people die in an earthquake. And the, how many hundreds of thousands homeless, without food, starving. The fall brought a great devastation, let me tell you. you knew how many in this town right now have got nothing to live for because they haven't got what you and I have. If you knew the sorrows just in this little town, little part, across this entire world. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. I don't know about you, brother, but I do. When evil, wicked men rise against me, when all hell rises against me, when hurts, oh my. I sat with a boy one year ago at a table, night after night, and here he talks of God, and come back this year, he's killed someone, committed murder. I wonder how his heart is right now in prison. Oh. Like Brother David said today, terrible, terrible. No telling what will happen if you reject light you're given. What you've kept. Hold on to it. Don't play the fool with God. Oh, the whole creation. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, that is the redemption of the body. I'm waiting for that. I don't want this to be eternal. I thank God this corruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. The prisoners of the earth shall be set free, God says in Lamentations. And that's what you and I are. If you don't know that, if this is all you want for eternity, young man, oh, I'm sorry for you. Thank God this will be destroyed. Just as the earth will be destroyed. Thank God immortality, just as eternal, will take the place of temporal, of this earth and heaven. So with you and me in one moment, we have to let go of this. But if we know all this could happen tonight, or don't you believe that? What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Stand, please. Can we bow our heads, please? Can we sing together? Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, oh, my Savior, God to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. The hymn book, is that a new hymn book, brother? Anyone know? Let's finish those last three verses. 771. Reverently, carefully, prayerfully turn, without speaking to each other. 771. Let's just sing this to God. Otherwise, don't sing it, please. When through the woods and forest glade I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. His son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble sings my soul, my Savior, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, how Jesus Christ's name. Amen.